Good morning. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 11. 2 Chronicles 11. Now when Rehoboam had come to Jerusalem, he assembled the house of Judah and Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men who were warriors to fight against Israel to restore the kingdom to Rehoboam. But the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, "Speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel in Judah and Benjamin, saying, Thus says the Lord, you shall not go up or fight against your relatives. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me." So they listened to the words of the Lord and returned from going against Jeroboam. Rehoboam lived in Jerusalem and built cities for defense in Judah. Thus he built Bethlehem, Etam, Tekoa, Beth-Zur, Soko, Adullam, Gath, Marishah, Ziph, Adorim, Lashish, and Azekah, Zorah, Ajalon, and Hebron, which are fortified cities in Judah and in Benjamin. He also strengthened the fortresses and put officers in them and stores of food, oil, and wine. And he put shields and spears in every city and strengthened them greatly. So he held Judah and Benjamin. Moreover, the priests and the Levites who were in all Israel stood with him from all their districts. For the Levites left their pasture lands and their property and came to Judah and Jerusalem, for Jeroboam and his sons had excluded them from serving as priests to the Lord. And he set up priests of his own for the high places, for the satyrs and for the calves which he had made. And those from all the tribes of Israel who set their hearts on seeking the Lord God of Israel followed them to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord God of their fathers. And they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and supported Rehoboam the son of Solomon for 3 years. And they walked in the way of David and Solomon for 3 years. Then Rehoboam took as a wife Mahalath, the daughter of Jeremoth, the son of David, and of Abigail, the daughter of Eliab, the son of Jesse. And she bore him sons, Jeush, Shemaiah, and Zaham. And after he had took Maacah, the daughter of Absalom, and she bore him Abijah, Attai, Ziza, and Shelomith. And Rehoboam loved Maacah, the daughter of Absalom, more than all his other wives and concubines. For he had taken 18 wives and 60 concubines, and fathered 28 sons and 60 daughters. And Rehoboam appointed Abijah, the son of Maacah, as head and leader among his brothers, for he intended to make him king. And he acted wisely and distributed some of his sons through all the territories of Judah and Benjamin to all the fortified cities, and he gave them food in abundance, and he sought many wives for them. Amen. I know we haven't gotten this in a while, and so, but remember, there's a split that happens between the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom. And so Rehoboam, Judah and Benjamin, and Jeroboam was chosen by the Lord to be now what's called the king of Israel. So now you have Judah and you have Israel. So Rehoboam just kind of tells a little overview. He obviously was about to go to war, but the word of the Lord came and prevented him from doing that, which is pretty powerful kind of reminder of how important the prophetic ministry is. These guys shed, prevented bloodshed from happening simply because of the word of the Lord. And how much more so we need that in our day and age right now. Rehoboam actually does some decent work. He fortifies the cities. He sets officers in place, which were primarily his children, which is very common during this time. And a lot of it is really to appease the sibling rivalry. You can imagine so many different wives, so many different kids, different allegiances that are happening, and we'll point to one of his allegiances later on here. But in the midst of all this, he strengthens them, and he puts things in order, and there's a little mini revolt happening in Israel. If you remember, if you go through the kings of Israel, you'll note that every single king actually does evil in the sight of the Lord. Like, every king of Israel was not a good king. Judah, it's like half and half. You got a good king, then a bad king, then a good king, then a couple bad kings, then a couple good kings, and it's kind of 50-50. But what happens, if you remember reading the story before, Jeroboam became very insecure about people going to Jerusalem. Remember, three times a year, that was the law, the appointed feast that they would give, they would have, and they would go to Jerusalem to worship the Lord and sacrifice, because that's the only place that you could sacrifice. But unfortunately, Jeroboam, feeling very insecure, thought, you know what, if I let these guys go to Israel or go to Jerusalem, then they will align with Rehoboam and I'll basically lose my people. And so what he does, he sets up different cities on his own. And even worse than that, he actually sets up idols. So he sets up different animals, Pan. He sets up a golden calf like they did in Egypt. And it does, I mean, very horrible things. And on top of that, obviously the Levites, who were consecrated and dedicated to the Lord, they would not have anything to do with this. And so it ended up happening that he actually dismissed the whole Levitical priesthood. And so these guys, I mean, think about their sacrifice. They leave the lands and the things that God had given them, and they go to Judah and basically align themselves with Rehoboam in this place. And, I mean, they held on to their convictions, and they suffered some loss. But they went to seek the Lord, and not only the Levites, but also other faithful men, people that understood the word of the Lord, people that understood the commandments, and they knew, no, we're not going to worship these false gods in these high places. We're going to go to Jerusalem, and then a huge exodus of people. And I mean, this is why Israel is unfaithful, because you have the faithful people leaving Israel and aligning themselves in Judah, and so on and so forth. And it's interesting, in verse 17, at the end of this, he says, they walked in the way of David and Solomon for 3 years. And so they followed the Lord. It happened, why 3 years? Because then, the next passage, we learn what goes on with Rehoboam. And Rehoboam actually follows in the path of his father Solomon, and a lot of bad stuff happens here. Remember we talked about, it was such a while ago, we talked about Solomon. He may have enjoyed peace in his lifetime, but because of his actions, because of the way he lived his life with all the wives and all the concubines that were against the word of the Lord, or particularly in the passage in Deuteronomy, and as a result, his children down the road, there'll be a generational transfer of the same evil, basically, that happens. And so we come to this place, and we see that Rehoboam, he takes different wives, particularly this is the daughter of Jeremoth, the son of David. This was one of the concubines. So takes him, and then bears some children. And then he took Maacah, and he really loved this woman. And she is, I know it says a daughter of Absalom. Actually, it's the granddaughter of Absalom. This is according to Josephus, the great historian. And so there's a granddaughter of Absalom. And then you see here that in verse 21, it says, and Rehoboam loved her more than all his other wives. And you see the point. And then in 22, and he appointed Abijah, the son of Maacah, as the head and leader among his brothers, for he intended to make him king. Now, he is not able to do that here. He's not supposed to do that. And so we see favoritism. Very clearly, Abijah is not the eldest. That would be according to tradition here. Not the eldest at all. But because he loved this woman so much, and he seemed to favor this one particular son, and this is going to create havoc down the road. This is, if you look at some passages, this is violation of the laws, Deuteronomy 21:5, as well as Deuteronomy 17:17, that says that you should not have more than one wife, and so on and so forth. And you see how these guys kind of mess these things up. But he did act wisely, and he distributed all of his sons all throughout. And so he was able to appease the sibling rivalry in some way. But again, that's going to catch up to him down the road later on. And you know, you'll see the rest of these things that happen, right? So let's close our eyes. Well, it's kind of short today. And it's interesting, this idea of generational transfer. Isn't it uncanny that the sins of the fathers is passed down pretty easily to the sons, and then passing generationally down the road? And so, you know, it matters what you do. Well, this might be the first time in the history of EMP, but, you know, women are outnumbered by men here. And this is probably a good message to give because, you know, as heads of households, as future heads of households, you know, it matters how you live your life right now. It really does. It just doesn't matter for your own blessing and your own prosperity. It matters for the generation that's passing down. It's generational transfer. It's the anointing that you pass down. Either it's a good anointing or it's a bad anointing. And you could think about it. So you can pass down your junk to your kids, or you can pass down blessing. Obviously, we want to choose blessing. We want our kids to do much better than we are. And if you're single, man, get your act together now. You know, go through some healing. You know, sign up for the river. If you're married, you know, keep that in mind. Maybe you're about to have a kid. Man, get your act together. If you have children, you can still pursue healing. Let's break off the curses that are in our family lines. We see the really bad outcome that happens through this family because of the sins of the father. My heart is that as men of God, that we would say, no, this junk just stops in this generation. It doesn't pass on to my kids, to our kids. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let the Holy Spirit whisper in your heart.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. O God of Jacob, we bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob. So give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another.
Amen. Who can ascend to the hill of the Lord, and who can stand in that holy place? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart. Let's offer the Lord this morning. Let's cleanse our hands. Let's remove filth from our lives. Remove vices and addictions. And let's cut that off in our generation, so we would not pass it down to the next. Let's pray. Let's spend some time this morning. Let's go to our community prayers. Let's pray for our friends and family that are going through cancers and going through therapies. And let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community dealing with illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. And let's pray for just the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that are dealing with non-cancer-related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's open doors and for His provision. Let's go to our community prayers. Let's pray for Hong Kong. And let's ask God to bless our city. Pray for the government. Pray for all the leaders. Pray that they would rule righteously. Pray against the wealth gap. Pray for revival. The Holy Spirit would move over the city. Let's lift up the churches here and pray for our friends at Sports Services, at Shanty, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, CSW, Mother's Choice, the Korean Church. Pray for Hong Kong students, domestic helpers here, and families that are in distress and their children. Let's lift up our city. Let's pray for our staff. Let's ask God's blessing upon us. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to empower and to really give us wisdom and energy and the strength to just do what He's called us to do every single day. Let's pray for unity within our team and just for God to really use us powerfully. Let's pray for our staff. Let's pray over our hospitality ministries, our welcoming and our baristas. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to just really use them to engage our leaders, our volunteers, and they really would be a welcoming face, smile, handshake, hug to those that step into this place. Let's pray over our worship, sound, and AV teams. Let's pray for our leaders, our volunteers. Let's pray for a real spirit of excellence and a real heart to really serve the Lord in the body, and that God would really bless their skills and their abilities, that they would continue to grow. Let's pray that they would lead us into the presence of the Lord. Let's pray for our house churches tonight. Let's pray for First Street, Fontana, Garden, Hopewell, Kowloon, Old Peak Road, and Soho. Let's pray the Holy Spirit would lead and guide our house church leaders, our hosts, that Every person that would come, they would come on time. They would come ready to engage with one another and with the Lord, and they would just draw closer to Him and to one another. Let's lift up. Let's pray, Lord. Thank you again, God, for the reminder in the scriptures, Lord, that we want good things, Lord, to pass down our generational lines, God. We want our kids and our kids' kids' kids, Lord, to be filled with generational blessing, Lord. I pray that we would take serious, Lord, this time that we have in our life, God, right now, Lord, that we would get our act together, Lord, that whatever you're convicting us in, Lord God, whatever addictions or other things that may be going on behind the scenes, Lord, that you would give us the impetus, God, and the desire, Lord, to come into a place of healing and cleansing, God. That we would only pass down good things to our kids, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord. Give us strength, God, and just the opportunities to make that happen in our lives. Lord, we bless you. Lord, just watch over us today, God. Help us to give you glory in all that we do and say, Lord. We thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you tomorrow.